and I'm the last one here. I've learned a lot today, and I think that the best thing about this conference is to go and hear about, I will take home some ideas from the previous speakers, that's for sure. Today I'm going to talk to you about program implementation and how we've done that at a regional maternal and child health consortium, and how we've engaged regional providers in collaborative processes to implement new healthcare policy and to understand just the steps that we've taken. The Southern New Jersey Perinatal Cooperative is one of six regional maternal and child health consortia in New Jersey. And we began in 1982 as a demonstration project. Became licensed by the Department of Health in 1993. And as you can see, there were 10 years of demonstration that went on. We were the leaders and developed this model, and the state then added five maternal and child health consortia in 1993. The thing that brought us together, and it continues to be our theme, is that there was, in 1982, neonatal intensive care began, and two hospitals in our region wanted to be the center of neonatal intensive care, and the state couldn't give the designation to both hospitals because they were both in the same city. So the solution was to give our organization the certificate of need, and the two hospitals that got the designation were required to come to the table, at our table, with all of the other hospitals in the region and to communicate, collaborate, and compromise. So that's really what's been the hallmark of what we do. We have a board of directors, and in regulation it says that we must have a board of directors that includes all of the hospitals that provide services to women and children and deliver babies, the public health agencies, professionals, and consumer representatives. And the source of our funding includes hospital dues, which is a per birth fee that they pay to us, and that's our core budget. But since those early years, we've attracted many grants, federal, state, and local, that we do many of our programs with. Our mission is to work with those hospitals, professionals, public health agencies, and consumers to collect and analyze and report regional data, improve professional practice, develop and implement programs to improve maternal and infant outcomes, and to oversee the implementation of state regulations and legislation. So unlike the state, we don't have a big stick. We do much of what we do through collaboration, technical assistance, and that kind of thing. So the work that I do most is develop new programs, we have many, many programs that we carry out in our region and in our high-risk cities. And what we found is that usually there is a sentinel event or something happens that requires a new program, a new service is being developed and someone must coordinate it, for example, or there's a formal or informal assessment done with qualitative and or quantitative data. And that helps us recognize a community or health system need. And there's often legislation, federal, state, or local mandates, and or foundation policies that trigger a new program. And usually that funding or those funds do come with evidence with requirements, and we use evidence-based models and data to support the need and to evaluate the project. So we have to decide often what kind of a program is needed based on the data. Is it a community education program, a client intervention? Is it client education needed, case management, support services? Or is there a new clinical service needed, professional education, or health system change? And as we all know, successful programs result in measurable outcomes. And those outcomes matter to the grantor. Was the money well spent? And partners. We've gotten a lot of miles by providing data to our program partners. Many of our program partners that are community-based agencies or even clinics and hospitals don't have a source of data on their clients. So if we build in a data collection system and feed back to them information about their clients, they're very happy to participate. Often the community needs data and information about what the residents' needs are and whether those are understood, how many people were helped, and where do they live. So we have to build into our programs a mechanism for gathering that information and feeding it back to the community so that they stay engaged. Policymakers need to know that a program works, is cost-effective, replicable, and supported by the community providers and other stakeholders. So as we design these programs, we have to build all these elements in. So I'm just going to give you two examples about problems and solutions that either began as a result of a mandate or a policy, or that we designed based on a community need that resulted in a policy change. And one is related to substance use in pregnancy, and the other is perinatal depression. So in 1999, in our Camden Healthy Start Project, and many of you may know about Healthy Start Projects, their focus is reduction of infant mortality. We built in risk reduction program strategies because we had many women in that high-risk urban city that are using drugs and alcohol. So we developed a uniform screening process, components of professional education, because many of the prenatal providers didn't know anything about substance abuse treatment, and the reverse, the substance abuse treatment providers didn't know anything about prenatal care. So we did a lot of professional education, and we built into that project also case management for the high-risk women. We were also introduced to a screening tool called the 4Ps Plus, and Dr. Ira Chasnoff, who's at the Children's Research Triangle in Chicago, and took a team of Camden City representatives from the schools. It was a broad array of medical professionals, community people, and leaders, and we attended an institute out in Chicago to learn about this screening tool. We came back and we brought the five prenatal providers together and engaged them in the development of a uniform screening and referral tool that included the 4Ps Plus. So we built in the screening elements of for substance abuse and perinatal depression, and made that the trigger for referral to our Camden Healthy Start project. Clients with positive screens were given prevention education and referred for case management, home services, and were also referred for substance abuse assessment when necessary. So in order to do that, we also had to do provider education in all the sites, and the data and the outcomes on those clients were shared with the consortium, the larger Healthy Start Consortium. The state of New Jersey saw the success of that project, and in 2002 put a lot of money into a perinatal addiction project statewide. They hired, and the goal of that project was, again, to do uniform screening in all of the regions in the state for drugs and alcohol and tobacco. So this is the model, essentially the same model that we did in Camden. In order to coordinate that effort, we thought that was a great thing that they had picked up what we'd done in Camden and replicated, but we were concerned that the five other consortia might come up with a very different model or a different tool or something else. And we've lived through those kinds of statewide projects before, where a lot of good work was done, but it was not consistent. And so we wrote a grant to the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation to coordinate that effort, brought all of the consortia together, designed a screening tool that was to be used statewide, and also designed a database and a mechanism for all of the screening forms that were completed to come to one place, and we had then one database of information that we could use to advocate. So this is the process, and essentially it's a coordinated system, and I'm going to skip over just because I'm concerned about time. But we came up, as a result, this kind of bar graph, pie chart, all kinds of data became available to our regional partners, and we could give them charts and information about their local counties, et cetera. So that uniform data enabled us to tell a story that made it possible for policy change. And as a result, county agencies began to dedicate funds and services to services for pregnant women related to substance abuse. The state approved reimbursement for a prevention education level of service that didn't exist before. And a task force was established and is still working on getting reimbursement for screening and brief intervention using that tool. And the 4Ps Plus has recently been integrated into a uniform Medicaid managed care risk assessment tool and has led to another centralized data system that we're working with the Medicaid managed care plans on. The next example is screening for depression, and this was driven, although we had in the beginning, back again with that Healthy Start project, we were doing screening for depression. In New Jersey in 2006, screening legislation came about and required that licensed healthcare professionals provide perinatal depression screening to all pregnant women. And all providers had the medical providers, nurses, and doctors were required, threw me off here, to do screening. Put everybody pretty much in a tizzy. The Edinburgh tool was one that was talked about a lot, but it was a tough one for everyone to figure out, hospitals included, how they were going to come up with a plan to do what was required under legislation. And this was the toughest, that the birthing facilities had to provide new mothers with a screen and information. So we pulled all of our local programs, our local hospitals together, and representatives from the nursing and physician professions, and engaged them in a collaborative process to implement the policy. We had regional meetings. We provided guidance through the steps of the incremental change with the systems. Gave them support, shared ideas among the hospitals and providers, and also informed them and gave them the mechanism to inform their hospitals and doctors about resources that were available. We were also represented on a state task force to develop guidelines, protocols, and resources for hospitals, and that really was the template that many of them used to carry out their responsibility. So as a result, we also got funding that enabled us to develop some new programs. We developed a model for support groups that's now being spread throughout our region. We're using PDAs in doctor's offices to conduct the Edinburgh screen as a model, kind of a pilot. And we're developing a lot of training tools and to facilitate provider use and education about the Edinburgh tool. So what we've learned in and what is exciting to me and why I've been where I've been for so long is that we really need to plan every program as if it's an opportunity to affect policy change at the local, state, and federal level. You have to be willing to negotiate, mediate, and accept incremental change as programs are put into place. And remember that eligibility criteria, regulations, and laws can be modified if the data are available to support the need. We have to seize opportunities to showcase the success of our programs, because you never know who's listening. And when developing client services, we always find a way to include tools and education that support professional practice and involve local and state stakeholders in planning the programs so that the success comes to their attention. And what I found most, again, from this forum and others is that I often learn from other states for successful models and creative policy. Thank you.